Welcome to the Living Rock Podcast.
This morning, we're to talk about our walking and walking in His way. So our series has been Walk This Way. Is that right? Does that sound about right? And we've looked at lots of different aspects of how we can live in a way that brings glory to God. How we honor Him by the way that we live. That we're men and women who follow Jesus. He's our King. And we reveal His rule, His kingdom, demonstrated through how we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives, how we relate to one another, husbands to wives, to children, to friends and colleagues and neighbors, and how we conduct ourselves speaks of God and His glory. Isn't that amazing? That we are representatives. We represent Jesus to the world, individually, and I think even more so corporately as His church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Richard. I'm one of the pastors in the church here and a part of this church. And I love coming to Market Harbour to be with you all. And it's a joy to come and each week see new faces and some faces from the past come back and all sorts of everything in between and some very regular faces. I mean, by regular, I mean seen regularly, not regular in how you look. And I want to talk this morning about walking His way, how we walk in a way that represents Jesus, that Jesus is our example and Jesus is our destination. I trained as a physiotherapist. For those of you who know me will know this. And I worked in outpatients and I worked with people with sort of sports injuries and all sorts of things. I would see people, someone every sort of 30 minutes would come with aches and pains and gripes and talk to me and I try and fix them. And one of the things that I often did, particularly with anything related to lower back or lower limb problems, was something called gait analysis. Gait analysis. I'd pop round to their house, I'd look at their fences, see if there are any gaps. No, G-A-I-T, how they walked. And how they walked would reveal to me a lot about them. In fact, we sometimes even subconsciously make judgments, have opinions on people by how they walk. And for some, they would walk with a sort of a pigeon toe gait, where their toes are pointing in. For others, it might be a bit more duck feet, Chaplin-esque. Some people would have flat feet. Anybody here tend to have a little bit of low, flat arches? So they would walk and roll over on their feet. Others had very high arches and kind of stiff feet. For some, they had a little bit knock-kneed, called genu valgus, okay? Or they were a bit bow-legged, genu varus, or as my nan would say, couldn't stop a pig in a passage. Sometimes they'd be slumped, sometimes they'd be arched, and you'd make all of these assessments on how they walked from their heel strike and how they carried themselves, and you could learn a lot about their physical state, you can learn a lot about their emotional state, and if they came with a relative, you'd often see a kind of an inherited state as well. Does that make sense? You also can very much tell how somebody's doing emotionally by how they walk. I'm going to give you, okay, what emotion do you think I represent? You don't need to be a mind reader, do you, to know that I'm on top of the world? No. Or that if I'm walking and sort of somebody's got a real purposeful gait, it's a very different look, isn't it? You can tell about their emotional state. And also the other thing, and Stephen alluded to this a couple of weeks ago when he said about seeing a young man who walked just like his father or carried himself just like his dad. And tragically, this young man was in his mother's womb when his father died. He never met his father, and yet it was like seeing him again in how he looked, how he carried himself. And even then, we mirror what happens to people around us, particularly children, to parents. And so we copy how they carry themselves. You see it. My brother-in-law, his son, it's like they walk the same. It's scary. And that there are traits in our children about how they carry themselves, how they walk. So your physical state, your emotional state, and your inherited state. And God wants us to know that how we carry ourselves, how we walk through lives, represents something of how we're doing in body, soul, and spirit. That how we're doing physically, how we're doing emotionally, and more importantly, what we're inherited, where we've come from. And we're to walk like Him. As He is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. As Jesus is, not was even, as He is. So we are, not will be, in this world. That's amazing, isn't it? And Over the past few months, we've been looking together about these things, our day-to-day conduct, how we live our lives, the decisions that we make, the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we talk and behave and think, and our priorities about where we go and what we do and how we spend our time. All of these things have been discussed and talked about over the last few months. We've heard about seeking first the kingdom and the king, about saying yes, Lord, when he asks us to do things, that we're to make him our prize and our goal and our destination. And I think Benj had like a running track set up in here for us about running the race and making Jesus our prize and our goal and our destination. That as we do that, we'll walk in a way that honors him. We'll be more like him in character and nature and attitude. And that we're to walk with those who are walking in the same direction. David talked about friends who help us to walk in a right way. The Barnabases and the Nathans and the Jonathans, the encouragers and the challengers and the covenant committed friends. And then just recently, Stephen talked about being a kingdom family, that we're influencers and we influence one another by the way that we live our lives. And I've been thinking about these things and how we walk. And if you could put the next slide up, I have to make some song references. We're not to walk like Egyptians. We're not to have the ministry of silly walks. And we don't even have to walk 500 miles, but we do the walk of life. When we walk like a man, his name is Jesus, and that's how we walk this way. Come on, it's been asking for it. Anyway. And this is our calling, to walk this way, to walk his way, to walk like Jesus. A young man came to his dad one day and he said, "Dad, I'd love to borrow the car tomorrow. I want to take my girlfriend out." And his father took this as an opportunity. His son had long hair. And the father said, "I tell you what, son, you get your hair cut and you can borrow the car tomorrow." And the son thought for a minute. He knew his dad was a Christian. And he very quickly said, "Do you know what, Dad? That's great, but Jesus had long hair." And the dad said, "You're absolutely right, son. And Jesus walked everywhere he went as well." To walk like him. That he is our example. In Acts 10, 38, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. That's us. That's our example. That's how we're to live. And he's our destination that Benj talked about, that we fix our eyes on Jesus, that he is the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. He's our example and he's our destination. And in Psalm 1, if you wouldn't mind putting that up, please, Jim. In Psalm 1, it's a psalm that starts and talks about walking, and it also talks about a destination and our destiny. We've been singing about our destiny this morning. I don't know how often we think about our destiny. Do we think about our destiny very much? I'm not very good about thinking about those things, if I'm honest. I'm kind of like a little bit more in the moment sort of person. Who's an in the moment sort of person? Who's a destiny person? Oh, you guys. And that's why I'm married to a destiny woman. She's got an in-the-moment husband. But it's a psalm that says this: "Blessed is the person who does not walk," there's that word walk, "in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." And the psalmist, possibly Ezra, writes this. It's the very first couple of verses of the book of Psalms. And it's all about how we can be blessed, how our destiny can be a blessed one. And it's about how we conduct ourselves. And ultimately, I believe the psalmist is talking about a growing comfort with sin. That what starts off as walking, and if I'm walking with somebody, I can walk away and peel off, if you like. But as I walk with them, then I'm beginning to associate with them. And when I stand and I'm talking to somebody, it's very different, isn't it? Now we're engaged in something, there's something more static about it. And now then finally, when I'm sitting, I'm completely comfortable in this context. From a fleeting to a static to a sitting in sin. That's the process that the psalmist is warning us against. It's this progressive comfort with sin. I also believe this. It's a psalm about how our destiny will determine our direction and the decisions that we make. And so the psalmist is saying that if you want your destiny to be good, then what the destination that you're going to and the directions that you take and the decisions that you make are all important. And I think that's important for us to consider. If I wanted my destiny to be sitting down at a happy eater in Mansfield for an Olympic breakfast, You've got to dream big, guys. Has anybody heard of a happy eater before? Just Stephen. Let's talk about something a bit more relevant. If I wanted to have a salad at a harvester in Rochester, okay, and that was my destiny, that's where I want to be, then that becomes my destination, and I don't know where it is. I live in Narborough, but Sarah, I'm treating her to a slap-up salad at a harvester in Rochester. And so what do? I get my phone out, and I go onto Waze. Other apps are available. And I type in the postcode, and it tells me how long it will take me and how to get there. And then everything I do now, the decisions that I make are based on getting there so that I can eat and that what I, how I, obviously I dress smart. Got to dress smart for a harvester. And, you know, I prepare everything, get everything ready, make sure the car's got enough fuel and make sure Sarah's ready. And we get in the car and then we follow the directions that lead us to our destination that fulfills that destiny. And so our destiny and our destination is all important in our direction and our decisions. Does that make sense? And how we walk and the small stuff, the day-to-day stuff that God is interested in, that's where this really matters. I had a conversation with a young man recently, and he'd become a bit listless and wasn't really sure what to do next in his life. And the concern was that he's just drifting and he's not really doing anything and he's procrastinating, he's putting stuff off, and he's sort of getting really, there's this inertia and lack of oomph. And he knew this, so he came to chat with me and Mike Shooter, actually. We chatted to him together. And as we were talking to him, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, ask him where he wants to be. Find out what he thinks is, what's his destiny? What's the destination that he has in mind? And he amazingly had this really fantastic, clear destination, this dream. And it was to be in a specific city, ministering to a specific group of people, and having a particular ministry there, if you like, helping a certain group of people in a certain city. And I was like, wow, that's really clear. I can learn from you. And then I said, okay, well, let's take some steps back. And what decisions do you need to make now that will lead you in that direction to get to your destination? And we prayed and we asked that the Holy Spirit would help him. And about a month later, he came back and he said, I've started to make some really proactive steps in getting towards there. I need to learn this language. I need to gain these skills. I need to kind of get into this sort of environment. I need to know this sort of people. So it all kind of came back to the decisions that he was about to make next. And isn't that great? And one of the challenges, we have a destination, but we don't do anything with the decisions and the direction to get there. Or the other issue is we don't have a destination and we're just meandering and wandering from one thing to the next. And I believe that God wants us to be aware of both aspects, the big picture and the detail. And as I said, our destination is Jesus. The Holy Spirit and the Word, they are ways, the ways, higher than my ways. He leads us. And I just want to really emphasize this morning. We can't do the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. And we can become professional Christians divorced of the power that God has given us to live the Christian life. And that's so tragic because we have a profound tendency to do things in our own strength. Or the stuff that's new, we ask him to help with. This is the first time I'm doing this job, or I've got exams, or the pressure's coming in, or this is the first time I've been asked to do anything of any sort of responsibility. And it's like, Holy Spirit, help me. And then a couple of goes down the line, I've got this now. I don't need the stabilizers of the Holy Spirit anymore. I can pedal perfectly fine under my own steam. No, we can't. In everything we do, you know, it's great. We've been talking about being people of the Word and being people of prayer and being people who come and worship and are supportive and encourage each other. But if we're not doing it with the help and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we should just go home. Honestly, it's not worth it. We can't do it. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I just want to say this. You can't do it without God. The £1, the picture of the bench. You can't live the Christian life from beginning to end without him. Slotted in every time. Don't try and look for other ways. The Holy Spirit, we need you to walk the Christian life. And in our walk with him, that we are focusing on him, asking him to help us. So you could put the next slide up. I just want to talk a little bit about Jesus' example for us. You know, Jesus never meandered anywhere. Jesus never got up on a morning and didn't know what he was going to do. he was constantly going for something, going for this ultimate destination, the cross, but that impacted every other decision that he made. So in John 1, verse 36, as he's walking along, John the Baptist sees him. Cousin John sees him. And he says, "Behold, there he is, the Lamb of God who's taken away the sin of the world." But Jesus didn't stumble across John. I believe Jesus fully knew that he was going to cross John's path so that John could speak this prophetic declaration of who he was. Then next we see Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Did he just fancy a little bit of fresh air? No, I believe he knew that as he walked there, Simon and Andrew would be exactly where they needed to be for him to call them and say, "Follow me. Drop those nets and follow me." Jesus was walking with purpose. As he walked on the sea during the storm, it's not that he kind of was walking along the shore, got a bit waylaid and ended up walking on the sea. It's like, oh, how did that happen? He set his sights towards where he was going next, and he knew where his disciples were, and he was walking with purpose, always with a destination in mind. In John 7, verse 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him, or seeking to kill him." Jesus chooses to walk in one place and not in another because at that time, now later on, he was willing to go to Judea because he knew that was the right time to do it. But the timing and the destination and his destiny was always just, he was razor sharp. And then in Mark 11 and John 10, 23, like just a couple of verses later from John 7, where he's not in Judea, now Jesus is actually walking through the temple. But every day Jesus walked, and he walked every day in purity, in love, in grace, in power, in humility, in confidence in who he was. And everything he did, he knew that there was a purpose to what he was doing next. And I want to live like that. I want to live like Jesus. I want to be like him. And the good news is that Jesus walked like that, and Jesus enabled others to walk. The super walker also enabled others to walk. That's perfect. Thank you, Jim. John 5, verse 8, here's the man at the pool at Bethesda. He's been there for 38 years. Such a mysterious little throwaway line. An angel bubbles up the waters, and the first person to dip in gets healed. It's like, okay, just lob that in. But he's like, "No one is here to help me get into the water. 38 years I've laid here on my mat, just me and my mat." And Jesus says what? "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Jesus immediately enables this man to walk. And from nothing, I'm telling you now as a physiotherapist, if somebody had been in bed for 38 years and then you're saying, "Right, let's go for a walk," you're thinking bed to chair at best, not get up, pick up your mat and off you go. That's exactly what he did. When Jesus enables us to walk, we're not just baby steps. He enables us to walk from the off like him. Isn't that amazing? And then in Matthew 9, verse 5, and repeated in Mark 2, verse 9, and Luke 5, 23, Jesus comes up to a man who's unable to walk, and he says to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Oh, he loved to stir it up. Jesus had a great sense of humor. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And they say, "How dare you forgive sins?" And Jesus said, "Okay, well, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or pick up your mat and walk to prove that I am who I say I am. Pick up your mat and walk." But I love this connection between forgiveness and the ability to walk. That as soon as you and I, as soon as we've repented, as soon as we've called out to Jesus, "I can't do it, and I haven't got anyone else to help me," Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven. Jesus, come and help me. I need you. I need a savior. I need someone to save me from my sins. And I need somebody to follow, to be my Lord." Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven. Now get up and walk." Isn't that amazing? Jesus had been doing that for centuries. That wasn't just a one-off. That was a little kind of moment and a glimpse of what he would do for thousands of years and continues to do today. And then in John the Baptist, bless him, has a wobble. Is he really the one? Sends his disciples while John is in prison. And Jesus says, "Well, just go back and tell John this. The crippled are restored and the lame are walking." That's the testimony that Jesus is alive. I've met loads of people in this church and in many other places beyond who were, for want of a better word, crippled. Crippled by fear, crippled by anxiety, crippled by self-doubt, crippled by sickness, crippled by sin and addiction and problems, the weight of the world. And then all of a sudden, Jesus has come into their lives. They've made him their Lord, their Savior. They followed him, and now they are walking. Walking through life, totally transformed. And even the dead. Mark 5:42, little girl, get up, Jairus' daughter, and walk. What does she do? Up she gets and begins to walk around. There's no one, there's no situation that Jesus can't restore and enable to walk. Isn't that amazing? That for each of us, the great walker enables us to start walking. And the good news is that once we start, he doesn't just say, cheerio, have a good walk. The amazing thing is then Jesus walks with us. Jesus walks with us. And just want to encourage you again, this has been mentioned already this morning, but if you're here today and you've never walked with Jesus, you kind of like, you've never been a Christian, you've never made that decision, please come and talk to me later about what it means. I would love to chat to anybody about what it means to follow Jesus, to be a Christian. And I'm going to say this again, that you can't do it yourself. But once you ask Jesus to come in, he gets you on your feet and he walks with you to enable you to live the Christian life. And he brings the friend, the fourth friend that David spoke about a few weeks ago, the Holy Spirit comes and enables us to walk and follow him and walk his way. Jesus walks with us. That story of Peter going out onto the waters and starts sinking, and then Jesus takes him by the arm, and together they walk back to the boat. Those two men on the road to Emmaus that I spoke about when I was here about a month ago, and all of the time Jesus was walking with them, wasn't he? Yeah. They just didn't know it. But that wouldn't mean Jesus wasn't with them. He was with them. And that Jesus is with us throughout our lives, whether we know it or not, whether we recognize it or not. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Even Jesus says to his disciples, go into all the world, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I know this, I'll come back and get you. No, I will be with you even to the end of the age. He's with us. Just for a moment, if we just quickly close our eyes for a moment, I just want to pause for a second and for us to acknowledge that Jesus is with us. And I don't know every situation and circumstance of what we've been going through in our lives over the past days, weeks, months, years, decades, but just to say this, Jesus is with you. Amen. And for us to acknowledge his presence with us, and he's with us by his Holy Spirit. Yeah. And for those of us who've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, not only is he with us, but he's in us. He never leave us or forsake us. And Holy Spirit, we just come right now and we just, again, recognize our need for you. Just want to articulate my need for you, Holy Spirit, in my life. And I ask that you'd forgive me for when I've tried to do things my own way or in my own strength. And I thank you that you've not left me, that you won't forsake me, and that you're with me now. And I ask that you'd fill me afresh. Amen. Surrender everything to you afresh. As David began with Psalm 139, we just ask the Holy Spirit, as the psalm finishes, that you would test us and search us, point out anything in us that offends you, so that you can lead us along the path of everlasting life, that we can walk with you full of life, full of joy, full of peace, full of your power to help us, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus walks with us. And there's this moment that David also referred to a couple of weeks ago about how, although Jesus walks with us, there are times when we can walk away from him. There's a verse in John 6:66. 666, not the mark of the beast. But six is the kind of, it's ultimately trying to be like God, but not being God, limited. And being really man, the power of man, I suppose, if you want to and use any sort of picture of numerology in the Bible. I'm not getting too weird about it. But it's this constant trying to be like God, but not being, our limitation. And our limitation will always be that if we try to walk and live our lives without him. And but Jesus does this. He presents this very difficult truth of essentially of the breaking bread, the Eucharist, and he says, this is my body and my flesh. My flesh and my blood. My body's going to be broken. My blood's going to be poured. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And for those who are listening, it's like, it's too much. That's too much, Jesus. We've got to go. And it says they walked away. And Jesus didn't say, oh, wait, I can make it easier for you. I'll just water it down a little bit. Jesus just lets them go. And there have been times in my life where I think I've made the easy decision. And I've said, this is too difficult. I can't do this. And I've kind of started to drift away. And in those times, it's taken a different points and junctions in my life where I've realized I've drifted. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what am I doing? And then I've come back. I've repented. I've turned. And I said, I need you. I'm ready to follow you again. And the amazing thing is he's come back and he's helped me and he's given me his love and his life and his forgiveness. And I don't take that for granted, but it's always, always there for us. And I just want to encourage us today that just very quickly, I'm going to pick these few points up that we walk in step with the Spirit. If you could just pop that next one up, Gemma. We're to walk like Jesus and we're to do that by walking in step with the Spirit. And I've already talked a lot about this. There's verse in Galatians 5, verse 16, that says, walk in step with the Spirit. And the word walk there is to wander, is peripateo. It's where we get the word peripatetic, which is just where you walk your way by yourself. There's certain paths you might see out in the countryside, the peripatetic. People have wandered and taken a certain route. But we walk in step with the Spirit individually, Galatians 5, 15. And then walk in the step of the Spirit comes again in Galatians 5, 26, and in the middle of the fruit of the Spirit. But Galatians 5, 26 says, to march, walk in step with the Spirit. But this time the word is stoichia, which means to march together. And that we walk in step with the Spirit individually. That every day, there's a wonderful book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Has anybody read that? By a man called Benny Hinn. Whatever you think of those things, I love the heart of waking up in the morning and the first person that we greet is the Holy Spirit. We say, good morning, Holy Spirit. He says, oh, good morning, Richard. And Holy Spirit, I need you today. I haven't got anything particularly taxing on today, you know, but I need you. I'm surrendering to you. I'm asking that you help me. I'm asking that you lead me. I want to walk with you today. Now, it doesn't mean that he says, right, wait 5 minutes and make sure that it's your left leg out of bed first. And then I want you to do two hops and then you can bring your right foot in. And I want you to have coffee, but I don't want you to have any milk in it. Anyway, but through the day, we converse with him. There's a lady, beautiful, saint, godly lady called Mandy Stone. Does anybody remember Mandy? She would just say, I've been talking with the Lord. That was something Mandy would say all the time. I was talking with the Lord just yesterday. I was talking with the Lord this morning. That we just walk in step with the Spirit is that we say, Holy Spirit, you're a person. You're in me. You're with me. Let's do this together. And that we live with that mindset, that attitude. That, as I said earlier, we're never too good at being Christians, too professional as a Christian that we don't need him anymore. But we rely on him for everything that we do. And that as we do that, then we walk with purpose. I love the fact that there are good works prepared in advance for us to do. Prepared from ages ago. But God's like, but I'm ready for you to do it on the 6th of April or the 7th of April. 7th? If it was the 6th and you missed it, don't worry, you've got plenty to do today, so it's fine. That we are to walk with purpose, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called, to have that fresh sense of purpose. Just to say this morning, there are people here in this room, you will be allowed to go into places that I would never be able to go. There will be people that you'll speak to that I'll never get to speak to. There are some of us have lanyards and badges and titles and positions that mean we get into places that other people can't get to. And that's why God put you there. That's why God put me there. That every day we have a purpose. I don't have John and Wendy's neighbors, but they do. Sarah and I, we don't have our neighbors, but we do. I've been challenged with how little I've invested into our neighbors recently. God's really just like, you could do better than that. Now, I've got to work out how I go about that. Sarah is much better at that than I am. But anybody feel challenged by that? People on our doorstep? They're people that God has put us alongside that other people don't have the access to or the relationship with. But they're prepared. That we have a purpose about our street and our friends and our neighbours and our family and the places where we are, or where we study, where we work. And then that we walk with others. And David did a fantastic job of describing this. I don't really need to say much more if you've not listened to it. Listen to four friends and how those four friends can help us and how we can be those friends, certainly three of them. We can't be the Holy Spirit. But how we can be those friends to one another. that we walk together, and lastly, that we walk by faith. And again, just to say that that just means every day, God, I trust you. I trust you. That when I come and I bring my offering, that it's actually making me wince a little bit, but I'm doing it because I trust you, and I'm going to sow, because you told me to be generous. So by faith, I'm going to give in a way that's a little bit, ooh, okay. But trusting that in doing that, that's faith. Not being silly about things or foolish, but faith. And that if we walk with purpose, and if we walk in step with the Spirit and we walk in others, some of the decisions that we make and the things that we do that might be a little bit above and beyond, we have the safety net and those things around us to make sure that when we do walk by faith and we do make some of those steps, we've got the accountability, the friendship, the relationship to make sure we're doing the right things together, just to encourage us to do that. Benj, if you wouldn't mind just coming up for a moment. I just would like to put up this insert name here slide, if that's okay. Could we stand together if you're able to stand? Thank you for listening to me this morning. And there's three statements that I would love for us to read together. This might be a bit weird because you might end up having to talk about yourself in the third person. So I hope you don't mind that. But when I said Jesus walked with purpose, there's a beautiful verse that says Jesus set his face like flint towards Jerusalem more. And it's a fulfillment of this prophetic word in Isaiah 50. I referred earlier to this verse in Acts 10:38, that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. And then Ephesians 2 refers to the good works prepared in advance for us to do. These are three statements I just thought would be good for us to declare together today. That we walk with purpose, that we walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that we walk into the things where God has already prepared good things for us to do, good works. So, if you would, when there's the dot, dash, 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 you'll either need to insert your name or where you live. It's only of. So, God has anointed Richard of Narborough. I mean, even saying it now sounds weird, doesn't it? You'd say John of Market Harbour, wouldn't you, John? Yeah. Lucinda of Market Harbour. I'll say Richard though, I'll say I won't say Lucinda, but that's great. So that's the only one where you say your place name. But let's say this on our name. Because the sovereign Lord helps Richard, Richard will not be disgraced. Therefore, Richard has set their face like a stone, determined to do his will. And Richard knows that they will not be put to shame. That as we set our face to do the things that God is calling us to do, that he will be with us, and we're determined to do his will, and we will not be put to shame as we walk his way. Okay, the next one is your name and then where you're from, okay? And then just your name again. God has anointed Richard of Narborough with the Holy Spirit and power. And Richard will go around doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, because God is with him. And then together, let's say this. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that I would walk in them. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Search for us online and get information about upcoming events and more great teaching.